Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Tuesday, May 26th. Grand Theft Auto 6, also known as GTA 6, was supposed to launch today. Rockstar, the parent company behind the game, pushed it to November, the latest in a series of delays for what is already the most expensive entertainment product ever created. If you don't play video games, you might wonder why this matters. GTA 5, the previous installment, released in 2013, has generated over $8 billion in revenue. That makes it the most commercially successful entertainment product in human history, more than any movie, any album, or any franchise in any other medium. The game cost about $265 million to make and hit $1 billion in sales in just 3 days. GTA 6 reportedly cost between $2 and $3 billion to develop, making it one of the most expensive entertainment products ever created. Analysts project it'll generate over $3 billion in its first year alone. We're covering this today because most people still think of video games as a niche hobby for teenagers. The gaming industry generated over $250 billion in 2025. That's more than the global film industry and global music industry combined, and it has been for over a decade. The story of how that happened and where the money actually comes from is one most people outside the industry have never heard of. The scale of the gaming industry is difficult to process if you haven't been paying attention. Over 3.5 billion people on Earth play video games. This is nearly half the planet. And the industry's revenue is projected to reach $255 billion in 2026. Gaming doesn't just compete with traditional entertainment. It has outgrown it so thoroughly that the comparison almost isn't fair anymore. And it's not just playing. In 2014, Amazon paid $970 million to acquire Twitch, a platform where people watch other people play video games. This is not a joke. And that sounded absurd to most people at the time, but Twitch now has over 140 million active users. People watching video games has become its own industry, with professional streamers earning millions and live viewership numbers that rival cable television. When I was a sophomore in college, GTA 5 had just come out, and I remember pitching it to my investment club, saying that we should buy Take-Two Interactive. That is Rockstar's parent company. The stock was about $18 a share, I think, at the time, and today it's around $228. I'm not saying that I'm a genius. I'm just saying that this industry has been growing at a pace that most people outside of it completely missed. The shift happened gradually and then all of a sudden all at once. In the 80s and 90s, gaming was a consumer electronic niche. You bought a console, you bought cartridges, and you played until you finished the game or got bored. Revenue came from hardware sales and one-time software purchases. So the business model was identical to selling DVDs or CDs. You make a product, you sell it, and then you hope people buy the next one. But three things changed that. Online connectivity came first. When consoles and PCs got reliable internet connections, games could be updated, expanded, and monetized after the initial purchase. Then came mobile. The iPhone turned every smartphone into a gaming device, and the App Store model has made it possible to distribute games to billions of people with zero retail overhead. Mobile gaming now accounts for roughly half the industry's total revenue. But the most consequential shift was subtler. The industry stopped selling products and started selling access. GTA 5 is the clearest example of how the economics of gaming have changed. Rockstar released the single-player game in September 2013. It was a massive hit almost immediately, but the real business started a month later when GTA Online launched, which was a persistent multiplayer world where players could buy properties, run businesses, race cars, and cause mayhem together. GTA Online is free to access if you own the base game. The revenue comes from shark cards, virtual currency that players buy with real money. A Megalodon shark card costs about $100 and gives you $8 million of in-game currency. Rockstar never has disclosed total shark card revenue, but analysts estimate GTA Online has generated over $4 billion from microtransactions alone, roughly half of the franchise's total lifetime revenue. The single-player game that won universal critical acclaim is the smaller half of the business. The online casino, essentially, is the bigger half. This model called live service or games as a service is now the dominant business strategy in the industry. Fortnite, made by Epic Games, is free to download. It has generated over $30 billion in revenue, almost entirely from cosmetic purchases. A character skin, dances, outfits. The game itself costs nothing, but looking different inside the game costs a whole lot. And that turned out to be enough to build a $30 billion business. GTA 6 is expected to follow the same model. The base game will likely cost $70 to $80, but the real revenue will come from GTA Online 2, which Rockstar is building alongside the single multiplayer campaign. The infrastructure for microtransactions, seasonal content updates, and virtual economies is being developed from day one. When analysts project $3.2 billion in the first year of revenue, they're not projecting based on game sales alone. They're projecting based on the live service revenue that will run for years, potentially a decade after launch. GTA 5 is still generating hundreds of millions of dollars per year, 12 years after the release. The $3 billion development cost makes more sense in this context, because Rockstar isn't spending $3 billion to make one game for 1 year. It's spending $3 billion to build a platform that will generate tens of billions of dollars over its lifetime. The economics look a lot less like a movie and more like building a theme park. Enormous upfront cost, but then decades of recurring revenue. The contrarian question is, who actually funds this system? The $70 box price for a major game hasn't changed much in 20 years. Adjusted for inflation, games are actually much cheaper than they've ever been. In 1990, a new Super Nintendo cartridge cost $50 to $60, which is over $120 in today's money. A new PS5 game costs $70. The sticker price has effectively been cut in half over 3 decades. The industry made up the difference, and then some, through microtransactions. But spending on microtransactions isn't distributed evenly. The gaming industry uses a term borrowed from casino economics called whales. A percentage of players, typically between 1 and 5%, account for the majority of in-game spending. Some spend thousands of dollars a year on virtual items. The free-to-play model means the game is subsidized for the majority of players by a small number of heavy spenders. The ethics of this are debated constantly. Loot boxes, randomized virtual item purchases that function like a slot machine, have been classified as gambling in Belgium and the Netherlands and restricted in several other countries. The World Health Organization recognized gaming disorder in 2019. Parents report children spending hundreds of dollars on in-game currencies without understanding the real money value. The industry argues that these purchases are voluntary and players are buying entertainment value. Critics argue that the monetization mechanics are deliberately designed to exploit psychological vulnerabilities, particularly in younger players. The mobile market is where this tension is sharpest, because mobile games are almost all free to download and funded entirely by ads and microtransactions. The top-grossing mobile games in the world, Honor of Kings, PUBG Mobile, Candy Crush, generate hundreds of millions of dollars per year, and none of them charge an upfront price. The business model is, give the game away, build a habit, monetize the habit. And if that sounds familiar from Saturday's Uber and AI episode, it should. The pattern is the same, because the product is free until you're dependent and then the spending starts. GTA 6 will launch into this landscape later this year as the most expensive bet in entertainment history. Yes, it's going to cost $3 billion in development, but it's projected billions in return almost immediately. A single-player experience designed to sell you on a multiplayer world designed to sell you virtual currency for the next decade. The game will almost certainly be brilliant. I'm not a huge GTA fan, but I'm probably going to give it a shot. But even if the game is really good, the question is whether the economics of gaming have reached a point where the brilliance of the product and the aggressiveness of the monetization are impossible to separate. For $3 billion, they'd better be. So if your friends are gamers, or if they have kids who like to play games, you should let them know this. Video games are the largest entertainment industry on Earth at over $250 billion a year in revenue. GTA 5 is the most commercially successful entertainment product in history at over $8 billion, and roughly half of that came from virtual currency purchases, not game sales. GTA 6 costs up to $3 billion to develop because it's not really a game. It's a platform designed to generate revenue for a decade through microtransactions, seasonal content, and a virtual economy. The $70 price tag gets you in the door, and everything after that is where Rockstar makes its real money. Gaming stopped being a niche hobby a long time ago, and most people over 40 still have no idea how big it actually got. So stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.